the Packer and Durham podcast.
Right now, we go to one of our favorite coaches and number one foodie on the show right here. Our man, Dave Clawson, joins us from the basement. I'm assuming the basement of his home in Winston-Salem. Coach, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm actually in my office right now. So we've started to come in this week. We have the offensive coaches here in the morning and defensive coaches in the afternoon.
So what's the vibe like, finally getting the guys back? It's got to feel good, right?
Well, we don't have our team back yet.
Oh.
We have a very small part of our team that we've, I think, been wisely cautious in bringing our football team back.
Hmm.
I think we've learned a lot from other teams that have brought their team back earlier. And, you know, we're going to start bringing our guys back in the next week. We have about 25 to 30 players here now. We had the players that had surgeries and had to do their rehabs. And then a lot of the guys who live in the local areas, we're starting to open the facilities up for them, the outdoor fields. But next week is when we're going to start bringing our players back.
Dave, it's interesting. We had Jeff Collins on in the first hour, and he talked to us about the Zoom meetings the head football coaches have had. Mark and I have talked to a variety of different people around the league. We know the teamwork that's going on from an athletic directorship in that perspective. Seems like the bonding that has gone on in this league to get sports back, but in particular football, has been very, very impressive just in the efficiency and the communication and those type things.
Yeah, the way it works is Michael Strickland at the ACC office runs our football meetings, and every year it rotates what coach is the chair of the coaches committee. And this is my year, so I've worked very closely with Michael, and he's done an outstanding job of keeping us organized. But I don't think as an ACC coaches group we've ever been more unified. Just the cooperation, the lack of selfishness. I think that in a lot of these meetings, coaches are clearly making decisions and voting in a way that might not be in their best interest for their school and their institution, but is good for the ACC and college football as a whole. It's been a real silver lining of this pandemic, and I've really enjoyed it. I think collectively as an ACC coaches group, we've never worked together better ever. And it's really impressive, and it makes you feel even better about the conference.
Speaking of impressive, we had Sage Surratt on the show last week. And, man, you're talking about a guy that represents what your program's all about. Certainly could have left and said, hey, you know what, I'm going to go chase the money in NFL fame. But you know what, getting that degree from Wake Forest is paramount. And, you know, I always think about the job that you've done there because it is different. Wake Forest, you know, the net that you cast, hey, you better be able to do the work in the classroom and then go able to perform at the ultimate level on the field. I just think he represents everything about your program. And it was really cool to hear him talk about that degree and coming back to obviously have a great season.
Well, there's certain players you're fortunate enough to recruit that, quite honestly, it's hard to mess them up. You know, Sage was raised so well by his mom and dad, and you know, his brother Chaz is a first class person too. We're very fortunate to have Sage. And really what's happened with him during this pandemic is he's taken on now a leadership role, and it's he does everything right. He's a talented player, he's a good student, and now he's becoming a really good leader for us. And you know, it's hard watching some of these highlights because then we didn't have them the last five games. And, you know, it's, you know, you get a little bit depressed thinking maybe what the season could have been if we could have kept him healthy the whole year. But getting a guy like Sage back or Boogie Basham back, you know, I think those guys are going to raise their game to a whole nother level. But what's most impressive is the leadership that they've taken on during this time. And I think, as the pandemic has happened, our team has become spread out. Having those high-level leaders has never been more important, and we're fortunate to have a few of them, and Sage is definitely one of them.
Dave, a lot of questions are going to be asked leading up to the start of the season about Sam Hartman's return at quarterback and all the things. And I think, you know, I had the ball game against Syracuse a couple of years ago where he got hurt at the end, And I thought he was playing at a really high level for you then. Now he was the backup to Jamie a year ago, ends up playing some ball games. What's your expectation for him? I mean, we know what we saw a couple of years ago. We know what we saw in limited times last year. But can he just slide right back in and keep the momentum he had a couple of years ago when he was off to a really good start?
I mean, my expectation for Sam is that he'll be one of the best quarterbacks in the ACC. You know, people forget he won the job 2 years ago. Mm. And in a year ago when he stepped in, he clearly played better last year in limited time than he did the previous year when he was the starter. So we never wanted Sam to be the starter as a true freshman. You know, we had a discipline issue, and he ended up winning the job. We were really hoping to redshirt him the first year. But I'm very thankful that we got to play him last year, and yet we preserved the redshirt year. And put it this way, every year as a head coach, you look at your roster, you look at your depth chart, and there's certain positions you feel really good about. I feel really good at receiver. You know, with Sage coming back, I feel really good at D-line. Boogie Basham, Suleiman Kamara, Ja'Cory Johns, we've got a good group. Quarterback is not one of those positions I'm real worried about. I've got much bigger concerns on our roster right now than the quarterback position. And we feel really good about Sam, and we just got to keep him healthy. But we've also developed up there. You know, ever since we got John Wolford going, that's been a position of strength for us here at Wake Forest. And our offensive coordinator, Warren Ruggiero, who coaches the quarterbacks, you know, he's recruited the position well. He's developed it well. We feel very good about the quarterback position.
Coach, we're obviously living in interesting times. You mentioned a pandemic, having just a handful of guys back already. The rest of guys are coming in. We've also had the racial and social unrest in this country, which has been really highlighted in the last 3 to 4 weeks. You got a bunch of smart kids on this team, right? Wake Forest, great student athletes. What kind of conversations have you had with your guys about being able to take a social stance and being smart about it? Again, you're working from a positive here because you got such smart kids. But again, you still got to have a conversation. So what's that been like behind the scenes in terms of moving forward and having a platform if you're a student athlete?
Well, certainly the pandemic made it challenging because I think when an event, like this happens, which has, really there's a national aspect to this, and then there's a local aspect with your own football team. And normally you could have a team meeting and have all 110 players there and look guys in the eyes and have breakout rooms. And now because of the pandemic, all of these meetings happened on Zoom. So I have a leadership group that I meet with once a week, and we were doing that the whole time. So it was just very natural that this became one of our main topics of discussion. I made sure that our assistant coaches reached out to every single player on the team. I had one-on-one conversations probably with 15 to 20 of our players. And I even reached out to some recruits, and I reached out to some former players. What's really interesting about this from a coaching profession, and again, this is a little bit philosophical, but in general, we're a profession that's always been complimented for having this laser vision and this total focus on the game of football, and noticing that the stance of the right guard might lean a little bit this way when they pull. In this almost manic obsession with finding details, and thanks to the ACC network and thanks to ESPN and all your partners, we make more money. And we get a lot more exposure. And with that exposure is a responsibility that hiding in the film room is no longer an option. And so I've been really proud of our players. We've put out a couple of videos that they initiated, that they wanted to do. And I think in this environment, I'm the coach, and usually with football, we're the ones teaching, we're the ones instructing, we're the ones demanding. Certainly as a white male in my 50s, I've told our players that you guys have to help lead me a little bit on this one, that I need to listen, I need to learn, and I need to be the very best advocate that you have at Wake Forest. And it's been a challenging process, but also a very rewarding process, because I think there's a freedom that these players now feel they have to be able to share certain experiences that maybe they weren't as comfortable sharing before, which is really, I look as a place that maybe that we failed, the fact that they weren't comfortable sharing these things. And it took a number of tragic and indefensible deaths for them to find a voice. But now that they've found their voice, I think they're handling themselves incredibly well.
You know, it's interesting. Mark and I have come back to this a little bit in our conversations over the last couple of weeks. We all have children in college. I know your daughter is in college, and Mark and I both have kids in college. One of ours is, each of ours has graduated at this point, but it is unique. And I think you have a front row seat to that conversation, and you just highlighted it, to see the empowerment in young people, especially college people and student athletes in particular. Dave, I think it lays the groundwork for what may be the most unique college football season, maybe the most unique athletic season we've seen in our lifetimes for a lot of reasons. The pandemic, the social justice, I mean, all those things combined with the way these games may be played, this could be a remarkable year in many respects, don't you think?
Yeah, and I also think it will forever change the coaching profession. Again, as a football coach, to have the option of burying yourself in the film room and being unaware of national events, social events, what's going on in the news, I think at times our profession has almost been complimented for not having awareness of these world events or national events. And I just think, you know, what's happened in the last 2 months just emphasizes the point that that is no longer an option that we have. You know, not only do we have a front row seat, but I think our responsibility and our obligation to be aware and be advocates for our players. And, you know, I've spent more time with my family in the past 3 months than I maybe did in the past 20 years. And the amount of dinner conversations that we've had with my wife, Catherine, my daughter, Courtney, and my son, Eric, about issues, you know, Black Lives Matter, white privilege, what that means, you know, experiences that players have had, sharing that with my wife and my families, it's really been enlightening, and it's been educational for me. So, you know, I really hope out of the pandemic that there's a lot of silver linings and a lot of positive change that's going to happen. And like I said before, I'm extremely proud of our players. I think the way that they have found their collective voice and their individual voices has been nothing short of impressive.
Coach, that's well said. Before we let you go, though, on a much, much lighter note, you mentioned spending time with your family and having dinner. I mentioned when we brought you on that you're our favorite foodie in the league. The pandemic certainly has made this difficult for all of us that like to go out to eat. With that said, knowing your improvisation, knowing your taste in food, how have you gone about that in the Winston-Salem area, or maybe somewhere else? I don't know. You tell me. So from one foodie to another, how did you get through that 3 to 4 months and still going on, for crying out loud? Curious.
And I've said this many times, the amount of silver linings that have come out of this situation, and one of them is the Claussen food situation. So we developed a rotation at our house that, like, every night a different family member had to prepare dinner.
Oh.
So approximately, you know, one night the kids would do it, one night my wife would do it, one night I would do it. And I'd find recipes and do different things. And it was honestly a blast. You know, because working from home, I think we worked as many hours, but they weren't consecutive. So you could take a 2 hour break for dinner before you were going to do recruiting calls at night. And the home food game might be more improved than Wake Forest football from 2013 to 2019.
Wow. I can't let you leave on that. So for argument's sake, if Packer and Durham were invited over to the Clawson House and you were in charge of the meal tonight, what would be the go-to?
Well, I think in the past, to be able to grill was almost, now I look at it as a cop-out. so I still think that's the best meal, but I feel that would be a cop-out. The other night I made a very, very mean chicken franchise that a college buddy of mine shared. I can make steak and chicken fajitas probably better than any football coach in the country right now. It wasn't good at first. By the time I did it the 10th time, I changed the technique, added some different spices. That game got consistently better. So I think you guys would really enjoy the fajitas I can put together.
Oh boy. I see a segment brewing already for the, I'm writing this down in ink, by the way. Clawson steak and chicken fajitas, and called out America. Every coach in America he called out on steak and chicken fajitas. We are going to put you to the test on that one, my man.
I would have been so disappointed in you guys if food didn't come up at some point. So thank you for restoring my faith in humanity.
There you go. Well, listen, stay safe. We always appreciate the time. But seriously, I know you mentioned 25 kids in and everybody rolling into town. Stay safe, and we look forward to many more conversations coming down the road here.
Okay, thanks. You guys, too. Appreciate you.
All right, Dave Clawson, head football coach at Wake Forest with us. That's awesome. What did you just say? He called out every coach in America on chicken and steak fajitas?
Don't say, I heard Packers say, I heard Durham say. No, that was Dave Clawson, quote, I've got the best steak and chicken fajita game of any coach in America. I heard it right here on Packer and Durham.
All right, we're going to go from steak and chicken fajitas prepared by Dave Clawson to the vaunted Packer and Durham over and under game. That's right. Thursday's football edition continues. Sam Howell of North Carolina, bottom of the hour. But when we come back, over and under with Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham, Sam Howell, North Carolina quarterback, coming up here in about 5 or 10 minutes. We'll look forward to that conversation. Dave Clawson. Yeah, you know what I really appreciate about Clawson? I mean, he said a lot of great things in that interview. But when he went to the food, he said, you know what? It's too easy just to grill out. So, I mean, that is when you know you're dealing with a professional. That, you know, hey, anybody can throw some steaks on the grill. So he went totally fake left, go right. And I really appreciate that answer. That's when you know you're dealing with somebody of true professionalism, Wes. When you just say, no, I can't just do the grill. I'm going to do something else.
You know, Pack, the show that premiered here about 3 weeks or a month ago, 3-day weekend with Jess Roy on ACC Network when she went to Blacksburg, right?
Yes. Yeah. Now, wait a minute. I just want to say something about that, and we haven't done any of this. That was my idea. If you remember, I pitched that idea on this show. I did. And I saw that promo, and I went, wait a minute now. I pitched that idea live on television that I would like to do a show in which I go around ACC venues and we eat, we talk, we break bread, we have great interviews, we tell some stories. And I saw that promo for it. I went, excuse me. I mean, excuse me. That was my idea.
Yeah.
Am I right? Am I right?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I did see the show. I'm disappointed. Got to be honest with you. That's what I want to do. I mean, no disrespect there, Doc, but I would like to do a show where I take it on the road and we go back and we break bread and we get into all kinds of great, you know, some dives, some really great restaurants, but you talk to the movers and shakers of each league and celebs or whatever the case may be. I think that shit would be spectacular on ACC Network.
Well, I think we may have paved the way for Jess Roy to take 3-day weekend to the Clawson House.
No. I want to do this. That's why I pitched the idea. It had to be
not
a
your
year
show.
Ago. Oh, please.
It's not your show. It's Jess Roy's show. It's called 3-day weekend.
Yeah, okay. All right. Fine. Whatever.
This is your show. This is your show. Packer and Durham.
You can do more than once, Wes. No disrespect. You are certainly capable of doing more than just one thing. Just saying. I'm pitching that idea again to the ESPN suits. Just saying.
I think the show that's being done, Mark, is hosted by Jess Roy.
Yeah. Well, again, we're talking about, you know, taking stuff to next levels, different ideas, different concepts. That's what you do, Wes. You create on the fly.
I understand. You make it seem like we can't do. You wanted-
it would be like me saying, well, Wes, you can't do play-by-play games. This is your show. I mean, that's how stupid that is. Well, Wes, you can't go do the Atlanta Falcons and watch them suck again. No, you can't do that. You can't play-by-play. This is your show. You can't. I mean, that's how ridiculous your comment is. You know, talented people can do other things. You know, I do an afternoon radio show on Sirius XM for 2 hours. You are capable of doing things other than we're going to pigeonhole you into this program. I mean, come on. You should know better than that.
All right. All right.
I'm disappointed in you. How could you dare make that statement? This is your show. Okay. I'll tell you what. When you get your list of games, they go, well, Wes, we're not going to put you on any play-by-play games. I don't want to hear you complain. I'm going to go, well, Wes, you know, you can't worry about play-by-play stuff. You got to worry about this show. I mean, how ridiculous is that? Come on. And they call you the Dr. Fauci of this show. That was a lame.
I'm
taking you down. That was
no
lame.
Idea.
Lame.
All right. By the way, I like the idea of you and Clausen breaking bread over chicken and steak fajitas at the home.
I would do it with not only coaches. I would do it with local celebs. I mean, there's all kinds of cool stuff you can do. And look at the difference. As I pitched you this idea last fall. Look at the venues you have in the ACC. You could go to Miami, Joe Stone Crow.
Oh, no.
You could go to Clemson, South Carolina, and beat the Smoking Pig. You could go from fine dining to down and dirty in the league. Hey, the markets that we're in, Boston, great food town. Pittsburgh, great food town. Atlanta, your backyard, tremendous. Miami, out of sight. And then you've got local dives, Blacksburg, Clemson. Chapel Hill's got a great list. Winston-Salem, where I grew up. There's so many cool places that you could go to in this league. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Hey,
I'm done with
by the way, before we go to Sam Howell, we got Sam Howell here in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Let's go back. Packer and Durham is a show of transparency, if it's nothing else, friends.
In the last 4 minutes, apparently transparent.
Can we go back to our list of most wins among FBS programs in the last 30 years for a moment?
Yes, we can. Is there a correction?
Because yeah. But, you know, it's an honest mistake. So when we ran the list on the screen, Florida was listed twice.
Boy, they must really be good. They made the list twice. How good are those dudes?
Well, and actually Georgia was listed as Florida. In addition to Florida being listed as Florida at 283-98-1.
Boy, oh boy. Those
but
two
in honor of Jeff Collins being on the show, we didn't want to give George any love in the hour, so we waited until after 9 o'clock to make the correction. So Georgia is fifth at 271-10-1, three ahead of Nebraska, five ahead of Clemson in the last 30 years. So there you go. That's our transparency moment on Packer and Durham. By the way, shout out to Kyle Bailey of WFNZ Radio in Charlotte, who was the first to point it out on social media, among others. But we did want to make sure Georgia got listed, too.
Well, it just goes to prove that the SEC fans apparently are watching this show, because otherwise, if you're an SEC fan, you'd be like, I don't care. Florida, Georgia, I don't care about either one of them. But the fact that the SEC crew is watching,
yeah, I know.
We appreciate that a great deal. Yeah. That's funny.
All right. Take a break. When we come back, the sophomore slinger for the Tar Heels will join us. Sam Howell, the ACC's Rookie of the Year on offense, visits with Packer and Durham on a Football Thursday here on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
All right. We got a bunch of helmets today. We went Georgia Tech. We went Wake Forest. And now UNC. Man, people are fired up. They are stoked. They can't wait to see the Heels because this dude that joins us right now is going to throw for 18 trillion yards this year. Sam Howell, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing good. I mean, that's the plan. 18 trillion. That's the number we got circled on our board.
Well, let me tell you something. With all those receivers and everybody back, I mean, no disrespect, it's first to 50 when the Heels are playing this year.
Oh, I agree, man. You know, we're excited. We got a lot of really good players back. You know, we've been working really hard, so it should be a good year for us.
Sam, what's the biggest difference in just 12 months for you? I mean, obviously, you know, you knew you had an opportunity to be the guy last year, but this has got to be a completely different feeling, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a lot different than where I was last year. You know, last year I didn't know if I was going to be the starting quarterback or not at this time. So I think the main thing coming into year two is just improving on certain things. You know, one of the main things I think is leadership. You know, last year I was just so worried about competing for the starting job, and now I can worry about making sure the other guys are getting ready to go, and just certain things like that is where I can improve in year two.
Sam, what about the hype? I mean, and not only for you personally, but for this team. I mean, you got people nationally going, hey, man, you better keep an eye on light blue because these dudes can flat out score. What's that feel like? Because it is a completely different feel than what it's been lately here for North Carolina football.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. There definitely is a lot of hype surrounding our football team, especially on the offensive side of the ball. You know, every time you go on Twitter, every time you see an article, it's something about how good we're supposed to be this year. You know, I think the main thing I try to tell our guys is just because it's supposed to happen doesn't mean it's going to happen. We still have to go out there and do it. You know, every day, I mean, we still have to do what we're supposed to do. We're not just going to go out there and have one of the best offenses in the country. We have to go out there and actually do it. So that's just the main thing we're trying to keep in our head right now.
So how do you stay humble? How do you stay grounded?
You know, I just think you got to block out the noise. No matter if it's good or bad, you just got to try to block it out. Just focus on our team, focus on ourselves, just focus on doing your job.
Now, we had your coach on, Mac Brown, and oh, go ahead, Wes. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's all right. Sam, I was going to ask you about just Coach Brown and being back. I mean, his development, but I also know that Phil Longo's been a huge asset to what you're doing there. And just the communication lines and all those things in year two, that's got to be cleaner, right?
Yeah, definitely just having a year under my belt with him. You know, going in year one, you didn't really know what to expect. I really didn't know how he coached the game, how he called a game. And just having that year under experience, it just makes things a lot better. So I'm definitely excited where me and Coach Longo are right now going into year two.
By the way, what kind of gear we got on there? I see the Jumpman. I see the North Carolina logo. What's on the sleeve?
We got a military bull patch on this sleeve right here. And, you know, just the UNC logo and the Jordan logo.
All right, well, by the way, of all the gear that you get, what's the coolest piece of gear that you've got at North Carolina?
Definitely the custom shoes we get. You know, we get a lot of custom Jordan shoes that never get released, so probably those are probably the coolest ones I've got.
Oh, wow. Oh, man, Pack.
So what are you wearing right now? Show me your feet right now. What are you wearing?
I mean, if you want,
show me your feet.
Right now, actually.
Yes, sir.
Right now, I got some Yeezys on.
All right.
But, you know.
All right.
Yeah, I don't have Jordans on today. I got some Yeezys on.
Yeah, I tell you what, you're going to have to run some extra sprints not having those Jordans on. You know, Coach Brown ain't going for that, Sam.
Yeah, they'll probably get it.
Sam, when we visited with Coach Longo last year ahead of a ball game at Georgia Tech, he talked about the installation of the offense. And one of the things I've been thinking of in the offseason is the way you guys put in the offense and then having all the guys back around you from a skill perspective, how much more can the offense go? How much more deeper or how much more in the playbook can you guys get this year just based on the way it was put in a year ago?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a lot of options, you know, especially with the guys we got coming back. We have 10 starters coming back, and they're all really smart guys. So we can really add as much as we really want to, as much as we really need to. So Coach Longo is doing a good job of what we should add and what we should do. I think the main thing we want to improve on this year is we want to play even faster than we did last year. You know, I took a little bit of time before the snap that I wouldn't like to take this year just so we could play a little bit faster. So there's definitely ways we can improve. There's definitely some more stuff we can add to our playbook.
Sam, I love your collection of wide receivers, and you got everybody and their brother back. Last year, every Monday, we would have a segment on our show which we highlighted the most ridiculous catches of the weekend in the ACC. And it just seemed like every single week there was at least one North Carolina wide receiver making a play. And I know you love that as a quarterback. If I said to you, pick the one catch that you just went, oh, my goodness, are you kidding me? What was the first thing that pops in your head from last year?
Definitely the Daz catch against Duke where he pinned the ball against the guy's back. That's probably one of the most craziest things I've ever seen. It was a hell of a play by Daz.
Yeah. God, he seems like he does that every week.
I mean, it's just like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they make ridiculous plays every single day in practice and games. You know, I'm definitely just blessed to have the guys I have in that room. You know, I can put the ball anywhere and they're going to come down with it.
You know, Sam, the other thing, too, is the way that Coach Brown and this staff have put together recruiting classes, you guys are going to have plenty of skill around you now. I mean, it's not just the names we're familiar with. Is there somebody else that you think could help emerge? I mentioned Bo Corrales as a guy who I thought got a little bit lost in what Daz and Dayami were doing a year ago. I mean, Bo Corrales is a huge target for you, especially I thought in the red zone a season ago. Are there other guys that you're excited to see once practice gets generated a little bit here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously everyone talks about Dayami and Daz. That whole room is just full of guys that can play football. You know, we got some kids coming in this year. We got Josh Downs coming in this year. I think he's going to be a really good player for us. I'm excited to see what he brings to the table. There's another young kid, Steven Gosnell. I think he's also going to be a really, really good player. We also got some guys in the room like Antoine Green, who's been hurt a couple times, but when he's at his best, he's a really, really good player. Then you got Emory Simmons, who played a little bit last year, had a couple catches. He's going to have a bright future. So there's definitely guys in that room. I think the main thing going into this year, we have more depth. You know, we can rotate guys a little bit more, so that way we can keep our starters fresh. So should be a good year for that room.
Sam, I know that spring practice, everybody kind of got wiped out for the most part. The pandemic, everybody's had to try to figure that out as well. But the incentive for this team, all you got to do is look at this schedule. UCF and Auburn right out of the gate. I'm sure from you better get to work today. Nobody's watching, doesn't matter, because those are two big-time tests right out of the gate for your club.
Yeah, for sure. If you're not fired up for those two games, I don't know what games you'll be fired up for. So we definitely know the task at hand. You know, the UCF, our minds are on UCF right now. I mean, they're a great football team. They've proven they can play with anybody in the country. So, you know, we definitely got to be prepared when we go down there. You know, we just got to go work at it every single day. You know, keep the main thing every single day. And, you know, there's a lot of distractions going on right now, but we just have to keep doing what we're doing. Instead of worrying and complaining about how things are nowadays, just got to be glad that we're still able to do what we love. So that's just the mindset we got to have.
By the way, when this whole thing got shelved, Sam, what was how'd you stay sharp? I mean, what did you do mentally, physically, just to kind of stay in any kind of rhythm that you would have had going through spring ball, I guess?
Yeah, I think just being at home those couple of months, I think the big thing for me was just developing a routine, just trying to be consistent with that, you know, whether it was watching film at certain times a day, working out at certain times a day, but that's really what I try to do. And I put a lot of time into myself, my body, eating the right things. Really, I was trying to make the most out of the time I had off and just try to come back a better player than I left.
All right, I ask this to every student athlete that appears on the program. Year one under your belt, getting in there for sophomore year. The hardest class that you've had at North Carolina to date is what?
I actually just took a class last summer session. It's called Store 155. It's like a statistics course. It was pretty tough, man. I made it through it, but it was pretty tough.
Wow. Stats class in summer. That tells me, again, we mentioned, what, 18 trillion total yards? That probably came into play for you, man.
Hey,
we got,
yeah, that's the goal, man.
I know. Yeah, listen, you guys are fun to watch. I can't wait to see what you do in 2020 because with everybody coming back, you got people talking, which is a good thing. It's It's good for you guys. It's good for the league. It's good for the country to see North Carolina football back.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely is. I know we're trying to get this program back where it's supposed to be. Coach Brown's done a good job of helping us get there.
All right, Sam, stay good. Stay well. Be safe. And we look forward to catching up with you as we get closer to kickoff, okay?
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Thank y'all for having me.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Sam Howell of North Carolina, rising sophomore for the Tar Heels of Mack Brown, and he and Trevor Lawrence, Pack, in my mind, they're the headliners at that position in this league.
I think the ACC, we've talked about this, the Atlantic Coast Conference collection of quarterbacks. You just heard Dave Clawson talking about Sam Hartman. The collection of quarterbacks in this league, top to bottom, I think is the best in the country. And at the very top, the 1-2 combination of Trevor Lawrence and that guy right there, Sam Howell, I don't think they're going to take a back seat to anybody in the country. So, I'm again knocking on wood that we have a season. We all are hoping for that. But this league is going to have some dynamic offensive playmakers under center and, of course, at wide receiver position. Should be a fun year of ACC football.
Well, and you guys have set the bar. You and Sam set the bar for 18 trillion yards.
18 trillion yards. He told you, again, we've learned some things this hour about the steak and chicken fajitas, the best in the country by any coach. He's up in Winston-Salem, and Hal and the boys are getting ready to light up scoreboards this upcoming year. There's no question.
All right. Sit tight when we come back. Final segment on the Football Thursday edition of Packer and Durham. Another anniversary we have to look at, I think. We have photos to show you from an anniversary and maybe a couple of other little secret things in our final segment. Plus, today's quarantine confessional on Packer and Durham comes to us from Monica McNutt. Replete with her Washington Nationals shirt on, and it looks like a bunch of dishes. Back to the kitchen with Monica McNutt after this on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your baby to let you sleep in?
What? We could sleep in another half hour? Thanks, sweetheart. And you'll change yourself, too?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, final segment of the show. All three guests were outstanding today. Jeff Collins, Dave Clawson. You just saw and heard from Sam Howell getting ready to put up $18 trillion on everybody, which is going to be great. The game was outstanding. We learned some things today on the show, which was fun. And tomorrow will be no different, Wes Durham.
Yeah, Bronco Mendenhall to join us tomorrow. Pitt volleyball standout Kayla Lund comes back to Packer and Durham to talk to us about the preparations as they ramp up for the fall for Coach Fisher and the Panthers. And over-under tomorrow. I think we'll get to over-under tomorrow on this show. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, we kind of we were going to do over and under today, but I got upset with the my concept being stolen.
Did. Yeah.
But we may readdress that later.
Yeah, by the way, tonight, Instagram Live on the ACC Network Instagram account, 6 o'clock Florida State Trivia hosted by E.J. Manuel and special guest co-host Jameis Winston tonight. So dial up the Instagram Live tonight, 6 o'clock for Florida State Trivia with E.J. and Jameis. Not often you get two of the great quarterbacks in Seminole history to conduct trivia for you on a Thursday night at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, they'll have
a lot of
time.
Fun. That'll get a crowd. Yep. That'll get a crowd, by the way. Yeah, they'll have a good time. All right, time for this week's, well, I shouldn't say this week's, today's quarantine confessional. Yeah, and live from our nation's capital, please, ladies and gentlemen, Monica McNutt.
Hey, guys. What's up, Wes and Pack? Hope you guys are safe and well in this craziness. So my pandemic quarantine, whatever, free time has changed over the course of however many weeks it's been now. But my most recent creation that I'm so proud to share with you guys, it's high in calories, so just forgive me. You gotta get your workout in if you're gonna do this. Homemade ice cream sandwiches.
Ooh.
But not just with any cookie. This one's a little melted. Oh no. Okay, oh well, you get it. These are Chick-fil-A cookies. And I don't eat dairy, so this is a non-dairy ice cream, vanilla ice cream. It's oat milk. Chef's kiss, guys. These are delicious. Worth every single.
Wow, that looks good. I tell you, she's a classy lady, man. She's got it going on. The only thing wrong with that was she's not here to share. Man, that looks delicious. I haven't eaten since 3 a.m., so it kind of feels like lunchtime to me right now. And that looked awesome. Goodness gracious. I almost want to say, can you play that back again? That's how good that looked. Even Dave Clawson, who's watching the show right now, went, wow, that looks pretty good. Man. That, I got to be honest with you, that was my favorite one yet. That's my favorite one yet.
Because it was food?
Food. You kidding me? That was awesome. Boy, does that look good. And no, I wouldn't share.
Tell you what, I can't wait to see. I can't wait to see Jess Roy on 3-Day Weekend with Monica McNutt with the ice cream.
No. You
just saying.
You know, you're not my buddy right now. I'm just telling you that right now. You let me get my hands on my concept for that show, it'll blow people away. ESPN, I hope ESPN's watching.
All right.
They better be watching.
Let me bring you to an anniversary. We told you at the top of the show today that 20-some years ago, Tim Duncan was the first pick in the 1997 NBA draft, right? Ladies and gentlemen, a year ago, this is what Packers' basement looked like. Do we have the pictures? Look at this. A year ago.
Moving on in, boys.
Just beginning to move in. Look at this.
Here's the SiriusXM studio.
What is that?
It's big time, isn't it?
Is that a dry vac?
Yeah.
By the way?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It was the start, and I've got hundreds
back,
of pictures.
Drive back, whatever.
1 year ago today, this place was starting to shape up. We were getting ready to start moving stuff in here, and the rest is history. And by the way, speaking of anniversaries, yesterday we got to do a shout-out to Team MacLane because yesterday was their third-year anniversary. How about that? So Eric and Khaki taking
Eric
care of business.
Eric and Khaki.
Yep. So yesterday was year three for them. He was on the radio show yesterday afternoon and said, Pack, I got to go. I said, where are you going? He goes, we're celebrating our anniversary. I said, man, I didn't know that. We need to give you a shout out. So there it is. 3 years and one day. Still strong.
Also, a year ago, while they were loading gear into the basement to ultimately become the home of Packer and Durham in beautiful, what do you call it? Mars Park. Yeah. Packer and I were doing the ACC Central program live from the commissioner's office in Greensboro, North Carolina. And we have a couple of pictures there. Mm-hmm. Pack and I with the commissioner and the look at that. There we are doing the show.
Yep.
Holy cow.
Yep. There it was.
Brought
1 year
Bojangles.
Ago today. Yep. 1 year ago today. Of course I brought in Bojangles. ACC corporate partner. Kidding me? We're going to bring those guys in. no disrespect to my man Jeff Collins down there, because when he's on here, we're talking Waffle House. But, we brought in Bojangles, corporate partner. And we shared for the whole staff. That's how we roll. Every time we did a remote last year, whether it be Coach K's office, right, when I talked our way into that, and then he threw us out afterwards because we didn't clean up afterwards. We brought all kinds of great biscuits to North Carolina. We went to all the great biscuit locations, and Roy Williams ended up stealing a whole bag for his office after the show. So, yeah, that's how we do. That's why Monica's confessional there with that whatever kind of cookie that was looking good, man. It's all about food. You gotta break bread with people. That's what we do. We break bread.
All right.
By the way, that should be – Wes, hold on. Whoa. I just hit a nerve.
Yes.
And for the ESPN suits, the name of the show that I do want to do – I'm just going to call it right now because you just said it. Breaking Bread. With the Pac-Man should be the name of the show. Breaking Bread with the Pac-Man. I'm done with ideas. I'm not giving any more up for free. That's it.
All right.
No more. We're done.
Well, a quick reminder to you, Bronco Mendenhall on this show at 9 o'clock tomorrow. Kayla Lund from Pitt Volleyball will join us. We'll have over-under as well. And I'm really excited about Dave Clawson's steak and chicken fajitas and Monica McNutt's oat milk ice cream sandwich cookie. Oof. When it appears on 3-Day Weekend with Jess Roy on ACC Network.
I didn't mind Monica wearing the World Series champion, because when you win the World Series championship stuff, you wear it, right? When you win the big cheese, you get to wear it. So I appreciate Monica doing that, because the Nats aren't going to win one anytime soon.
Thanks to Josh Macri, Drew Brooks, Jen, our director. Fabulous job by everybody. For Mark Packer, Wes Durham, we'll see you tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock. Don't forget, Instagram Live tonight, 6 o'clock. EJ Manuel and Jameis Winston on the ACC Network account. Have a great day.
Packer and Durham.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.